I didn't hear any wait for me's. So we'll pick up our reading with John chapter 18. And for the sake of context, I want to begin our reading at verse number 28. John chapter 18, beginning at verse number 28. The New King James Version reads this way. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die." Verse 33. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation, the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Verse 37. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Verse 38. And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." Let the church say amen. Amen. So this is the third consecutive Sunday that I've been in John 18. And unless the Lord lays on my heart, this will wrap up our little mini-series in John chapter 18. But there is a word from God today. I've already preached verses 33 through 36, so we'll deal primarily with verses 37 and 38. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." As the Holy Spirit will give me ability this morning, I want to preach from the subject. I want to preach from the thought. Truth always matters. Truth always matters. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for these and all other blessings, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to gather this morning, Lord, to worship your most holy name. But Lord, people are not here to see me, Lord, they're here to hear a word from you, Lord. Help me to give that word boldly and accurately, Lord. And Lord, as always, anytime I stand behind this desk, I stand in need of mercy, forgiveness, and grace. I ask that you give those to me, Lord, and give it to all these people in abundance, Lord. It's this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Truth always matters. I'll start today's message with a question. I'll start today's message with a question. And that question is, have you ever been lied on? Have you ever been lied on? Now, I'm not the smartest man in the room, but looking around and listening to your responses, those seem to suggest that you have been lied on before. And if you are anything like me, it doesn't feel good to get lied on. And so if you know the terrible feeling of being lied on, Or if you know someone who has been lied on and seen the negative consequences of being lied on, then you should be able to testify with me that truth always matters. In today's passage of scripture, we're wrapping up our mini-series from the Jesus and Pilate discourse. This is the last of the illegal trials that Jesus would endure before being brutally executed on the cross of Calvary. And so in John chapter 18, verses 33 and 34, Pilate asked Jesus, I'm just paraphrasing, Pilate asked Jesus, was he the king of the Jews? And Jesus responded by saying, are you saying this on your own initiative, or are you just regurgitating what someone else told you about me? And then in verses 35 to 36, Pilate tells Jesus, as if he needed a reminder, that the Jews, his own nation, his own people, gave him over. And then he asked the Lord Jesus, what have you done? And Jesus responded, if my kingdom, I'm paraphrasing, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight that I might remain in place as king. In other words, if this were my kingdom, my servants wouldn't let it go down like this. That was in verses 35 and 36. Well, this discourse between the Lord Jesus and Pilate continues in verses 37 and 38. And with that, we will pick it up with John chapter 18, verse number 37. John chapter 18, verse 37, the New King James Version reads this way. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And so in verse 37, Pilate asked the Lord Jesus, are you a king then? And so Pilate asked this question because of Jesus' response in verse number 36. We read it, but I'll read it again. Jesus' response to Pilate in verse 36, it says, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. In other words, since my servants are not fighting, since no one's coming to fight on my behalf, I am a king, but I'm not a king of this world. But Pilate, not understanding, he asked the natural question, are you a king then? Jesus responds and he says, you say rightly that I am a king. Pilate, you are absolutely right about it. You doggone Skippy, I am a king. Matter of fact, I am the king of glory. Then Jesus elaborates on his response. He says, I am a king. Pilate, you say that rightly. But Jesus elaborates on his response by adding, for this cause, I was born. And for this cause, I have come into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. That raises a question. What truth is Jesus talking about? That's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. You're sharp on you're on your game this second Sunday. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. He's talking about the Word of God, the law of Moses and the prophets. He is talking about his Word. Let me put some Bible with this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. This is the Lord Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. He says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. In other words, I came to reveal the truth that I am the Son of God, and I'm not just the Son of God. I am God in the flesh. I am God incarnate. So in other words, Jesus came to reveal, he came to testify of the truth that Moses and the prophets were speaking years ago. He's saying that Moses and the prophets, they were not just speaking out the side of their neck talking garbage. No, Jesus is saying that Moses and the prophets, you should have believed Moses and the prophets. Because you search the scriptures. You search the scriptures thinking that in them you have eternal life. Yet these are they which testify of me. And so Jesus is saying that I came to fulfill the truth of Moses and the prophets that they were speaking hundreds of years ago. The last part of this verse being verse number 37 in John chapter 18. The last part of that verse says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Simply put, if you belong to Jesus, you hear the voice of Jesus. And that voice is the word of God. And that voice is the Holy Spirit whispering in your hearts the right thing to do. When you know what's right, but you want to do something else, that's the Holy Spirit whispering to you.
Amen.
Verse 38. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. Now, Pilate said to him, what is truth? Scholars, pastors, and preachers down through the ages have been debating, what did Pilate mean when he asked the question, what is truth? Was Pilate really wanting to know the truth? Some people have said that. Was Pilate mocking the Lord Jesus? Some people have said that as well. Or was Pilate simply not concerned with the truth for a multiplicity of reasons? I don't know this for sure, but I tend to lean toward the latter, that being that Pilate simply was not overly concerned with the truth for whatever reason, for a myriad of reasons. So let's go with that for a minute. I'm not telling you to believe what I believe. I'm not telling you to believe what I believe, but since I'm your pastor, I'm in the business of telling you what I believe. And so I believe that Pilate was not overly concerned with the truth. And so if that is the case, interestingly enough, the man, Pilate, who had one job. He had one job, and his one job was to get to the bottom of this thing. This one job was to find out what the truth was.
All right.
And he was not concerned with the truth that he was charged with finding out. Now, he may have said, depending on what version of the Bible that you're reading, there are certain versions of the Bible, it just says that Pilate said, what is truth? And then it ends. But if you got a King James or a New King James, it asks the last part of that verse in, and it says, and when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. So I'll just say it like this. Perhaps Pilate did go out and say to the Jews, I find no fault in him at all. But that is not a confirmation of the truth. That is not a confirmation of the truth. He may have said that he found no fault in Jesus, but that verdict in itself did not confirm the truth, because if Pilate's verdict would have confirmed the truth, then Jesus' crucifixion would have been prohibited. The Jews would not have been able to go forward with their evil plan to crucify the Lord of glory. But be that as it was, Pilate's no fault verdict, not guilty verdict, did not bring any justice for Jesus. And I'll say this, praise God that it didn't. Because we might not be here if it did. Amen. That's the sum total of our verses this morning. We're talking about truth always matters. Truth always matters. I have 3 points that I need to lift this morning from this passage of scripture. So 3 points. Truth always matters. If you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, listen intently. First point. The truth should have been obvious. The truth should have been obvious. So you see in this passage of scripture a little bit earlier. We preached it last week, so I'm not going to preach it again. But Pilate asked Jesus, "What have you done?" In other words, what have you done, Jesus, so bad, so awful, so terrible that you are deserving of death? And I share some of those things with you, but since you don't remember what I preached last week, I'll just tell you what they were again. All right. Jesus turned water into the best wine ever tasted. Yeah. Jesus fed some 15,000 people, 5,000 men, not to mention women and children, with a little boy's lunch, 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. Jesus cast demons out of demonized men. Jesus walked on water, and he even allowed Peter to walk on water for a little bit. Jesus made the blind to see. Jesus made the lame walk. Jesus made the deaf hear. And Jesus made the deaf hear. Those are just some of the things that Jesus done. Jesus even raised Lazarus from the dead. He was in there 4 days stinking, as the Bible says. The truth should have been obvious that Jesus was the Son of God, because it's common sense. No ordinary person would have been able to do the things that Jesus was able to do. And it's not like he was doing these things in a corner. He wasn't doing them in secret. He was doing them openly. It should have been obvious. Now, I know what you're saying. Pastor, I didn't see any of that. Why should the truth of Jesus be obvious to me? Good God Almighty, that's a great question. Since you didn't see any of those things, I didn't see them either. Why should the truth of Jesus be so obvious to me here in 2019? That's a great question. And give me a moment to paint this picture in clear as a fashion that I can. And I'm just going to take some common sense. The fact that we are talking about the Lord Jesus some 2,000 years later, after his life, death, and resurrection, that is proof in itself that makes the truth of Jesus obvious. Let me read a passage of scripture to you. I'm going to read a passage of scripture, and bear with me. It's in Acts chapter 5. It's Acts chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 33 through 39. Acts chapter 5, verses 33 through 39. It says, when they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Them is the apostles. It's Peter and John. They're preaching Jesus. The Jews don't like that, and they want to kill Peter and John for preaching Jesus. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. In other words, be careful about how you handle these so-called apostles. For some time ago, Judas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. In other words, a little while ago, there was a man named Judas. He was talking out the side of his neck. He got about 400 people to follow him, but he got killed. He was slain, and then all his followers, they just went to the wayside. And then Gamaliel, he gives another example. He says, after this, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census. Not the same Judas, not Judas Iscariot that walked with Jesus. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. In other words, so after this dude named Judas, who was talking about nothing, got killed and his people scattered, there came another dude. His name was Judas. He was talking some crazy stuff. He got some people to follow him, but he perished and his people went by the wayside. So Gamaliel, he says all that, and then he says, and now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. In other words, let these apostles do what they are doing. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it. lest you even be found to fight against God. We're still talking about Jesus some 2,000 years later. It's not like the dude named Judas in this passage. It's not like the dude named Judas in this passage. We're still talking about Jesus some 2,000 years later. Let me see if I can just paint this picture a little bit more clear. I'm just going to ask y'all some questions. Y'all just nod. How often do you hear people gathering to have in-depth conversations about Moses? I didn't think so. How often do you hear people gathering to have in-depth conversations about King David? Let me come out the Bible. Let me move a little bit closer to 2019. How often do you hear people gathering to have in-depth conversations about William Shakespeare? How often do you hear people gathering to have in-depth conversations about George Washington? How often do you hear people gathering to have in-depth conversations about Rosa Parks? How often do you hear people gathering to have in-depth conversations about Martin Luther King Jr.? Only on his birthday. As great as some of those people are, here's the point I'm trying to make. As great as some of those people that I named are, you don't see people gathering to hear about them. Why? Because they are ordinary men and women. Now, I know church attendance ain't what it used to be, but millions of people across the globe, billions of people across the globe still gather every Sunday morning to hear a word about the Lord Jesus. And if Jesus were an ordinary man, that would not be the case. Now, because some of y'all smart and y'all read, y'all saying, Pastor, people gather for Islam too. People gather for other religions. And let me just say this, because you're right about that. But you have Muslim countries. Muslim is just as much a culture as it is a religion. People, unfortunately, are born into Islam. And some people who try to leave Islam, they will be killed if they leave Islam for trying to leave Islam. And I'm not, let me say this clearly. Not always. But people are often forced to submit to Islamic tradition. And Christians are killed daily because they do not submit to Islamic traditions or other traditions. You can Google that. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, because you can Google it and ruin my credibility. You can find that out on your own. It's not very difficult to find out. I don't know about you. I can't speak for you. I speak for me. I don't hear about nobody killing folks there because you're not a Christian. I hear about some overzealous Christians. I hear about some Christians who don't have Christian ways. But I don't hear about Christians. If you don't believe on the Lord Jesus right now, I'm taking you out. And I submit to you that you don't hear that because it don't happen. And so I could go on and on about this. So if you want to take some other religion and compare it to Christianity, whether it's Islam, and I single out Islam because it's the fastest growing in the world, or any other religion, if you want to take those and compare them to Christianity, there is no comparison. I could go on and on, but the point is made, and that is, the truth should have been obvious, and I will add this, the truth is obvious. Second point, I got 3 points this morning. We're still talking about truth always matters. Second point, if you are of God, you know the truth. If you are in God, and when I say you, I'm talking to everybody in here, and I'm talking to me too. If you are of God, you know the truth. Now let's pick up our Bibles. Verse number 37, Jesus says in part in verse 37, he says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Now, that's in John chapter 18, verse 37. It says in part, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Let me put some more Bible with this. Same book, different chapter. John chapter 10, verse 14 says, these are the words of the Lord Jesus. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. In other words, if you belong to me, you know who I am. Stay in the same chapter, John chapter 10. Skip down to verses 26 to 27. Jesus speaking to the Jews, he says, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There is not much I can say because Jesus said it best. Jesus is saying, if you belong to me, then you hear my voice. I know who you are, and you know who I am. And if that is not the case, if you don't know me or I don't know you, you don't belong to me. Some of us, we will preach and we will teach all day long. And I'm going to continue to preach and I'm going to continue to teach. And others are going to continue to preach and teach. And guess what? Unfortunately, some people will never hear and believe the truth because they don't belong to God. They ain't trying to hear the truth, so they don't hear the truth. And as a result, they won't belong to God. I could go on and on, but the second point is made, and that is, if you are of God, you know the truth. Amen. Third and finally, truth always matters. First point was, the truth should have been obvious. Second point, if you are of God, you know the truth. Third and finally, the truth sets you free, and Jesus is that truth. The truth sets you free, and Jesus is that truth. The truth sets you free, and Jesus is that truth. Stand right here in the same book we're preaching from. The Lord Jesus is recorded in John chapter 8, verse 32. The Lord Jesus recorded saying, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jump down to verse 36 in John chapter 8. And Jesus says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Put those two verses together in the same chapter, just a few verses down from one another. You put those two verses together, John chapter 8, verse 32, John chapter 8, verse 36. And what Jesus is telling you is that the truth will set you free. And I am the truth that sets you free. That's what Jesus is saying. The truth will set you free. And I am that truth that will set you free. In other words, the Lord Jesus is saying, salvation, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to live forever and ever, you got to come through me. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man or no one comes to the Father but by me. Did you catch that? Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say I am a way. He didn't say I am a truth. He said I am the truth. He didn't say I am a life. He said I am the life. And so let me just tell you what the Lord Jesus is saying. And I'll just go through John chapter 14, verse 6. I'll just say it backwards. Jesus is saying, if you want to live your best life, which is eternal life, you need to come through me because I'm the truth and I'm the only one who can show you the way. That's what he is saying. And so John chapter 14, verse 6, be that as it is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No one comes to the Father but by me. It is the most exclusive statement in the Bible. And you know what? I take Jesus at his word. Amen. And I can't tell you what to do, but I strongly suggest you take him at his word too. And so I strongly suggest, I urge you to believe on the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus today for the forgiveness of sins. Not just your wrong actions, but your wrong thinking. Because we need forgiveness for all of those. And so I could go on and on, but the third and final point is made, and that is the truth sets you free, and Jesus is that truth. Truth always matters. As I hasten to a close, let me just say that if you don't know the truth and believe the truth, a devil's hell awaits you. Now, you know from this pulpit, I don't do that New Age philosophy. Jesus talked about hell more than he talked about heaven. It must be a real thing. And so if you don't hear the truth and believe the truth, a devil's hell awaits you. But trust in the Lord Jesus, who is God Almighty, and that doesn't have to be your end life. You can be in glory with the Lord Jesus because he is extending the invitation. Not only is Jesus saying, come to him, he is saying that if you come to me, that you will have, not only will you have eternal life, but you will get to reign in the kingdom. You'll be get to be a co-heir in the kingdom with me. In their right mind would turn down an offer like that. Not only will you live forever, but you can be heir to the kingdom with him. I tell you that we serve a good God. We serve a good God. We serve a giving God. We serve a glorious God. We serve a great God. We serve a loving God, and we serve a saving God. And I'll just say this for myself. Praise God. Hallelujah. He is my God. He is the blessed hope, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the truth, and the truth always matters. Amen. Amen. Everybody stand. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for revealing yourself to us that we might know the truth and that the truth might make us free. And Lord, you are that truth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Bless this invitation. If there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, may they only leave the same way they came. But Lord, for those of us who know you, those of us who have thrown ourselves on your mercy, keep us, Lord. Lead us and guide us. And don't let us leave the same way we came. Lord, might we have more faith in you, Lord? And might we leave here reminded and operate in the fashion that truth always matters. And Lord, we thank you that you are that truth. It's this we pray. In the matchless name of the risen Lord and the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 The doors of the church are open.